I've asked the Lord to really help me, because I've known this portion of Scripture for many years, and I prayed that God would just show me a revelation of what it really, what David went through, and what we may go through, or maybe someone here is going through something that you needed instructions from God's Word to get through it. So let's pray, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts. Our Father, I thank you for this time that we can come together, your children, the body of Christ, coming together, Lord, in spirit and in truth. I thank you for the freedom we have in worship, that we can open our hearts to you, God, and you can speak to us through that spirit that only you can, and our hearts can be touched, and we can move out into the gifts of the Spirit during worship that will touch and edify the body of Christ. And God, we balance that with your word, because that is one of the most important things, spirit and truth. Unless we're grounded in truth, nothing else means anything. We can't just relish in gifts and all the Corinthian gifts of the Spirit without having the word of God as a foundation, without doing things decently and in order. But when we do, we operate in the church that you have called us to be. So help us, God, to understand these things. We just give you thanks for opening up this scripture to us and allowing us to see what David went through and how he went through what he did. And we can learn from this, God, today. So bless the hearing of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. We've been in a series. I know it's been kind of... if you're a first-time guest here, we've been in a series of psalms. We just took a few psalms. We studied Psalms 19, then we were in Psalm 51 for a couple weeks. Psalms are a collection, we said, of songs. They're songs, and like you have on your phone, your iPhone, or your, you know, whatever, you can download different kinds of music and so forth. And it's interesting to notice that the reason why we all, in at least in this universe, why we love music is because music does communicate literally in a way that nothing else does. Music communicates. And God knew that. He knew that music communicated. So God made his own list of songs, and he called it the Psalms. And in your Bible, there's a book called Psalms, in case you didn't know that. It's right in the middle of your Bible, okay? And what you probably never knew, or maybe you didn't realize that, maybe you didn't know this, but 3,000 years ago, you just didn't read a psalm, all right? You would listen to a psalm being sung, or you would listen to a psalm played. They were all set to music, and today we're going to close this series that we've been in. We're going to look at a psalm written by a king that was going through, we called it betrayed. He went through the storms of betrayal. And he's going through the hurt and the heartache of really being stabbed by someone he thought he would never, would never do to him, or whatever it was that was done to him. So if you brought a copy of your Bible, or if you want to turn to it, or your iPhone or whatever, we're going to be looking at Psalm 55. Psalm 55, and I'm going to try to set up what we're going to go, where we're going here. King David wrote these psalms, this song, and it's very obvious that when David wrote this psalm, his emotional level was like a code red, okay? And his stress level was off the charts. I mean, he evidently was at the bottom of his barrel. As a matter of fact, today we would say that he was having an acute anxiety attack. That's how we would call it today. I mean, he was about as low as anyone can get. And the problem was, he's still carrying the feeling of betrayal of this close friend. He's carrying it in his heart. Now, we don't know who this friend was. We don't know who his buddy was. We don't know who his close friend was. I tried to read a lot of different commentaries on, you know, people, well, who was his friend, and they're all over the map. So I don't know. I don't know who his friend was, but whoever it was, he thought, David thought that that was his best friend forever. He thought that we're going to be, you know, we're just going to be tight forever and ever. So he tells us why he wrote this particular psalm. If you jump down in verse 12 and following, you can follow along with me. He says this. He said, if my enemy was insulting me, I could endure it, right? I mean, if somebody you don't like says something bad to you, you lose about a half a second sleep. Is that right? You don't care, right? Look what he says. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. Verse 13, but it's you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend. Well, how close, David? The next verse. With whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throngs at the house of God, or another version says, amongst the worshipers. We walked amongst the worshipers together. Now, when David wrote this psalm, he was at the absolute peak of his political his power. Peace was everywhere, prosperity was everywhere, and the nation had never done better than this time right now. He was living in absolute complete luxury. His military power was absolutely unquestioned. Everybody was happy. And yet, here's a king at the zenith of his power, and the betrayal of just one friend destroys his whole world. The betrayal of one friend literally turns his world upside down. So even the heart of a great king can be broken by the betrayal of one friend. Why? Why is that? I believe there's no greater human heartache in life, relationally speaking, than when someone that you love, someone that you trust, someone that you've opened your heart to, someone that you always thought would have your back, sticks a knife in it. So we're going to give you four things today, hopefully that will help you get to the other side of this mountain that maybe you're trying to climb. Okay? You with me? All right, let's look at number one. Here's the first thing we need to do. This is the first thing that David did. You tell your hurt to God. In your notes today, you have it right in there. You tell your hurt, you should have a bulletin. It's spelled wrong. You're hurt. You tell your hurt to God. That's the first thing you do. We made these bulletins first thing this morning because we were still cleaning the church. Okay? But it just went fast. Tell your hurt. Okay? Change it. Tell your hurt to God. That's the first thing. When somebody hurts you, the first thing you do is you tell your hurt to who? Oh, wait a minute. You mean you don't go on Facebook and tell your hurt to whoever is your friend or whatever your so-called friend? Oh, but do people do that? Oh, yes. But see, you tell your hurt to God. To God. That's the first thing you do. David begins by writing this psalm, and here's how he begins the lyrics to this song. Look at verse 1. He says, listen to my prayer, O God, not O Instagram, or whatever you call that stuff. O God, do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught. Now, listen to what David said. He said, I'm so distraught. I'm so devastated. I'm torn apart. I can't even think straight. I can't get my mind on anything. Every time I open my mind, I can think about, the only thing I think about is how hurt I am. And the more I think about how hurt I am, the more I hurt. As a matter of fact, things were so bad, David says this. Listen to what he says. This is amazing. Listen to what he says in verse 7 and 8. He says, I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and the storm. You understand what David is saying here? Here's a king. David says, I'd gladly give up my throne. I'd gladly give up gold, my silver, everything. I'd give up my palace. I'd give up my fame. I'd give up all my political power, all the wealth I have. If I could just get away from the hurt. If I could just get away from the heartache, if I could just get one night's sleep and forget about that person, what that person has done to me, I just can't get over it. I mean, we are talking about he is in code red. And we just read the source of his heartache, someone he called his close friend. And by the way, how close was that person? Remember what David said? We used to go to church together. That's what he's saying. We used to go to church together. We sat in the same pew. We opened a hymn book together. We sang together. We listened to the prophet. We listened to the preacher. We took notes together. We even went to lunch afterwards. And we were like this. We were close. We were tight. And then he said, but the pain is unbearable. The pain is, the hurt and the heartache is just crushing me. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, look at verse 4 and 5. Look at verse 4 and 5. He says, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me or have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. Now think about, wait a minute. Think about who's writing these words. This is David, the giant killer. This is the guy who took a couple rocks from a brook, right, put him in a slingshot, and he killed a guy who was 9 feet 6 inches tall, over 400 pounds, and yet, even though the giant couldn't touch him, one friend devastated him. One friend. Well, maybe some of you are going through that yourself. You might say, man, that's where I am right now, and I know exactly how he feels. I read a quote from Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, and I thought, this is so amazing. He said this, and I didn't put it in your notes, but listen to this. Charles Spurgeon said, no one is such a real enemy as a false friend. No one is such a real enemy as a false friend. So what does David do? What does he do? He does the best thing you can do when somebody hurts you, when you're deeply hurt, when you're bitterly betrayed. You know what he does? He vents. He starts talking. He empties his clip. Because the worst thing you can do when somebody hurts you, and the worst thing you can do is to harbor your hurt. That's the worst thing you can do, because harbored hurt becomes burdened bitterness. Not most of the time, not a lot of the time, but every single time. If somebody hurts you and you hold it in and you brood over it and you stew over it, harbored hurt becomes burdened bitterness. But you may say, well, but nobody understands my situation. I don't have anybody to talk to. Well, David takes care of that. He said, no, you can always talk to God. You can always talk to God, because God always understands. He does. So David says, don't harbor your hurt. Don't hide your heartache. That always makes things worse than they are. Okay? Now here's the good news. You can always go to God with any trouble, any pain, any heartache, because let me tell you several reasons why you can do that and why you should do that, and several reasons why, by the way, why God is such a great God. Number one, he's always available. He's always available. You don't have to stand in line. You don't have to make an appointment. He's always available. Number two, he completely understands. Completely understands. You'll never go to God with a problem and God says to you, man, I don't even know how you feel. I don't know what to do. You know, that's news to me. God will never tell you that. He absolutely understands. And next, you never bother God. You never bother God. As a matter of fact, I think the only thing that bothers God is when we think we bother God. That's probably the only thing that bothers him. All right? You never bother God. His shoulders are big enough to hold your hurt. You know, his ears are sharp enough to hear your hurt, and his hands are strong enough to handle anything that you're hurting from. Okay? You with me? So the first thing you do is you tell your hurt to God. Now here's the second thing you do. You tune your heart to God. You tune your heart to God. You tell your hurt to God, and then you tune your heart to God. Let me tell you why this is so important. When somebody hurts you, they betray you, they stab you in the back, they throw you under the bus, remember this. Your heart is like a tuning fork. You know what a tuning fork is? The heart is like a tuning fork, and here's what will happen. You will either allow your heart to be tuned to that person that hurt you, and their betrayal will become your bitterness, or at that point you can make a decision. You can say, I'm not going to let that hurt be tuned. I'm not going to let my heart be tuned to your hurt. I'm not going to let my heart be tuned to the one who hurt me. I'm going to let my heart be tuned to the God that I know, the God that I know loves me. Okay? So listen to what David says in verse 16 through 19. Listen to what he says. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though my enemy opposes me. God, who is enthroned forever, will hear them and afflict them. Selah, it says in my Bible. Just think about that for a second. Men who never change their ways and have no fear of God. David said, when I took my mind off this hurt and I took my eyes off the person that hurt me and I decided to put my mind on God and to focus my eyes on the God that loves me, I remembered something. I remembered something. Here's what I remembered. I remember that God is a savior. That God is a listener. I remember that God is a rescuer. Didn't we learn that at VBS? When something is wrong, Jesus rescues. He's a rescuer. And we know that God, he said, God is a ruler. So now, if God is the Savior, that means he can save you from anything and anybody, what anybody does to you. He can save you. If God is a listener, that means you've always got someone to talk to. He's a listener. You've always got someone to talk to you. And it means you, if God is a rescuer, that means he can always enable you to overcome anything that anyone does to you. And if God is a ruler, that means that God can take any bad thing someone means for you, and somehow, some way, God in his divine ability can turn it into good for you. He does it. And David said, I cried to God in the morning. I cried to God at noontime. I cried to God in the evening. What is that? That's just a Hebrew way of saying, I cry out to God 24/7. That's just a Hebrew way of saying that, okay? Now, let me tell you why this is such a big deal. When someone hurts you, and you're going to get hurt. And when someone disappoints you, and you're going to get disappointed. And when someone throws you under the bus, and one day you may get thrown under the bus. You're going to do one of two things. You can spend your time stewing over what someone's done to you and hurt you. Or you can spend your time pursuing the God who loves you and will take care of you. All right, that's the key. Now, if you want to waste your life, and I mean really waste it, you can spend all of your time stewing over that person that hurt you. But if you want to make your life productive, instead of stewing over that what that person done to you, how about pursuing the God who can take care of you? That's what David did. And here's what happens when we begin to think about the way God saves and the way God listens and the way God rescues and the way God rules us. Then somehow, I can't even explain how it happened, God starts delivering us from the poison of unforgiveness. He starts delivering us from the prison of bitterness. Because when you're tuned to God, then you can forgive like God forgives. When you're tuned into him, you can forgive like God can forgive. You got you with me? So number one, we tell our hurt to God. Number two, we tune our heart to God. Number three, you trust your healing to God. David does something that we all have to do. And if we're going to come to grips with the hurt and the heartache that someone is near to us has done. And, you know, I want to tell you, I want to warn you, so to speak, that David did something that's opposite of what we tend to do. And I'm right there with you. I'm not trying to throw rocks at anybody because I've been there too. All right? Because, you know, if someone really hurts you and someone really betrays you, you know what we'll start to do? We'll start following them on Facebook. We'll start looking for what they post on whatever. Start reading their Twitter's things, whatever you call it. You know why? Because we're obsessed with them. And our prayer every day is, God, make them as miserable as I am. You know, God, hurt them like they hurt me. Break their teeth in their mouth. That's what David prayed, right? He did. Oh, come on now. I know you're too holy. All of you are too holy to think that way. Maybe that's just me. All right. We get obsessed with them because what we do is we want to see, are they happy? Because we don't want them happy. Have they been affected like we've been affected? Have they been hurt like we've been hurt? You know what David says? He said, that don't work. That doesn't work. That is non-productive. David said, instead, what we ought to do, and this is going to help somebody, why don't you start looking at them through the lens of God's eyes? All right? And why don't you start realizing that many times when people hurt you, and listen, this is going to help somebody, why don't you stop and think about the fact that when people hurt you and they stab you in the back and they throw you under the bus, in a sense, God is just doing you a big favor. He is, because he just revealed to you what that person really was and how that person really was to begin with. Because look at what it says in Scripture. Listen to how David saw his friend. Look at verse 20. He says, my companion attacks his friends. David says, you know, I'm not the only guy that he messed over. He violates, it says, his covenant. He never kept his word. He never keeps his word. Look at verse 21. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they're drawn swords. All of a sudden, what did God do? He pulled the curtain back. He turned the light on this guy, and David starts seeing his former friend for what his former friend really is. Who is this buddy of his? What is he really like? You know what he was like? He was a backstabber. He was a gossiper. He was a liar. So David all of a sudden realized God did him a big favor. He says, you know what? This is a friend. When I look back at him, he broke promises. He never kept them. He talked one way to your face and another way behind your back. Let me tell you what a true friend will do. And this will be worth coming to church for today. A true friend will praise you. A true friend will never flatter you. Okay? You don't understand? You say, what's the difference between those two? Listen carefully. Flattery is what you'll say to someone's face, but you don't really mean it. So you won't say it behind their back. Praise is what you say to someone's face because you really mean it. Or you say it behind someone's back because you really mean it. So it doesn't matter if you say it to their face or behind their back. You see, there's a big difference between praise and flattery. Friends don't flattery. Friends praise. Okay? And David's finally coming to grips with the fact, you know, this friend, he wasn't really a true friend. He wasn't really a true friend. David finally woke up and he says, you know what? He's not worth my bitterness. He's not worth me being friends with him on Facebook. It's not worth it. He's not worth me reading his Twitter thing or seeing something that he posts. He's just really not worth it. In other words, listen to this. David finally woke up and he said, it's time to leave behind the person that left me behind. Time to leave that. Time to leave that person behind who left me behind. And listen to this, because this is one of the most important things that I'm going to say. And I put it in your notes. When you can't leave your past to God, you cannot enjoy the present, nor can you focus on the future. Got that? Listen to it again. If you can't leave your past to God, you cannot enjoy the present, nor focus on the future. I read some things about one of the greatest men, I think, of the 20th century. He was a man named Nelson Mandela. Anybody ever hear of Nelson Mandela? Nelson Mandela, as you know, fought all his life to end apartheid in South Africa, the separateness, the 148 laws that were governing South Africa between black people and white people. And while his fight for equality, some so-called friends betrayed him. And in a three years' time, he was arrested for treason. He was put on trial for sabotage. He was sentenced to life in prison. He did hard labor. He slept on a floor in a cell, on a floor with no toilet. He could only receive one visitor one day a year, and the visitor got 30 minutes, one time a year. When he was finally released from there, he got out of prison. He spent several years in house arrest, making a total of imprisonment of a time of 27 years. And what was his crime? He was trying to bring equality to a nation that he loved. When Nelson Mandela got out of prison in 1990, he made one of the greatest statements anybody's ever made that I've heard. I wrote it down. Listen to what Nelson Mandela said. I think I have this on the screen. He says, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I would still forever be in prison." You know, for some of you today, it's time for you to do what Mr. Mandela did. Get out of your prison. Just get out of your prison. You're in a prison of bitterness that was not made by the person that betrayed you. You made that prison. You didn't have to get into it. Nobody forced you into it. And you can get out of it anytime you want to. You may be sitting here saying, "But you know what? You don't know what I've gone through." I don't. You don't know the hurt that I've been through. No, I don't. Or you may be sitting there thinking, you know, I'll never get over this mountain of hurt. You know what? You won't, if you don't want to. You may think, "I'll never get through this storm of this heartache." You won't, if you don't want to. But I'll tell you this. If you will say one thing that David said to God and really mean it, you'll get over this mountain just like that. You'll get over the storm just like that. Listen to what David said at the end of verse 23. If you don't get anything else, get this. He says, "But as for me, I trust in you." You see that? You need to underline that in your neighbor's Bible. If it's not underlined in their Bible, go ahead and do it. "As for me, I trust in you." You just look up to God. "Lord, I trust in you. And here's what I believe. You can take every hurt and every hurter, and you can trust God to heal that hurt and to deal with the hurter." Listen, did you hear? Listen, you'll never heal your hurt. So quit trying to do it on your own. He can. He can. You'll never be able to deal with the one who hurt you. But he can. And he will. So you go to God and you say, "God, here's my hurt. God, here's the one who hurt me." And God says, "Great. I'll heal your hurt. And I'll deal with the one who hurt you." See, the only way you'll be free from the prison of your own bitterness, that's the only way you'll be free from the prison of your own bitterness. Now look at what happens. Look at what happens when you do these three things. You automatically do the fourth thing without even realizing it. Here's what number four is. You will tie your hope to God. Listen how David ends this. This is so good. Look at, you know, maybe you've been betrayed like David. You know, you had people that you thought were some of your best friends, and when you needed them, they turned tail and they ran. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. In one sense, you know, you know why it seems like a death. It seems like a death because it really is. And because it's really hard to accept the fact that a relationship that you had, at least on earth, you thought this relationship would last forever, but it's really over. But what I want you to hear today is just because a relationship is over doesn't mean your life is over. It's not over. And here's what some of you need to hear to do right now. You need to cut the cord that you tied to the friendship that you thought would last but didn't. You need to cut that cord. And you need to tie your cord and tie your hope to a relationship that will never end. Because people will turn their back on you. God never will. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, even to the end of the age. That's why David, why he said in this psalm in verse 22, look at this verse. This is incredible. He says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. He'll never let the righteous, another version says, be shaken. People will fail you, but God won't. David said, you know what? When you've been knocked down flat on your back by a blow that you never saw coming from someone you never thought would do it, David said, there's proof positive. Here it is, right here. You can take it. And you can make it. He said, cast all your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. And you can stand up. And then he says, not only you can stand up, but you can stay up. Because he says, he'll never let the righteous be shaken. Because of the love of this God that created us and the hope that we have in him. You might be temporarily knocked down, but you'll never be permanently out. You'll never be permanently out. Okay? And what David said in this psalm is, God can take the sadness of betrayal and turn it into a song of blessing. Isn't that incredible? That's what he did for David. You know? We read in the Old Testament where God created a couple. They named them Adam and Eve. Anybody ever hear of them? Famous couple in the Bible. God put them in a perfect paradise. They had everything you could ever want to be happy. And they can live happily ever after. Someone said the dew is not even wet on the grass of creation until they rejected what he told them to do. And they literally stabbed him in the back. We reject what you wanted for us. We want to do things our way. And look what happened. And then 2,000 years ago, the son of that father was in a garden called Gethsemane. And the grass was wet from the blood drops of sweat, sweating blood from his brow. And the one that he thought was a friend betrayed him, stabbed him in the back. And the other 11 guys, he thought, if anybody else betrays me, they'll stick with me. And they all ran like scalded dogs when he needed them the most. But out of those betrayals, it was out of those betrayals that a Savior came. It was out of those betrayals that a rescuer came and a ruler came, and he died on the cross, and he came back from the grave to prove, I can take your betrayal and I can turn it into a blessing. That's what he did. You know, betrayal itself is bad enough, but when you're betrayed by someone close to you, someone you feel that you can trust, and I don't know about you, but I've had it happen to me, it can be devastating. Psalm 55 is a painful song written by a pain-filled David. But in the midst of the betrayal, in the midst of his anguish, he gives us a pathway through the pain as we tell our hurt to God and as we then tune our hearts to God. And we learn There's a working formula. We can find our way to the other side of that hurt, to the other side of that betrayal, and we tie our hope to God. And when we tie our hope to God, we find a peace, the Bible says, that passes all understanding. And a true healing that comes from God that we all need and that we all want. Yes, there's going to be scars. Yes, there's going to be scars. But there also is the permanent embrace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He'll never let you go. He'll never let you go. In Jesus' name, if you're with me today, just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know who you are, but maybe you have been betrayed by someone. I want you to follow David's instruction and let Psalm 55 come alive in your heart today. I'd like the worship team. You're going to come back and we're going to close our service now. But I thought of that this psalm, and I've read it for many, many, many years, but never could fully understand why David went through what he went through and what happened to him. But I know that he came through it on the other side because of what he said at the end. As for me, I trust in you. So that's what I want for you guys today. No matter what you're going through, you say that in your heart. God, as for me, I don't care about what's going on around me. I trust in you. Amen? Let's all stand.